ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா.
நமஸ்கிருத்யா நரோம் சைவம் நரோத்தமம் தேவீம் சரஸ்வதி வியாஸம் ததோ ஜயம் உதீரயத் நஷ்டபயஸ்வ பத்ரிஷு நித்யம் பகவத் சேவய பகவத் உத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்திர் பவதி நைஷ்டிகி. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா. குட் மார்னிங் டு எவ்ரிபாடி ஆன் தி கால். ஸோ திஸ் மார்னிங்ஸ் டெக்ஸ்ட் இஸ் ஃப்ரம் ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் கேன்டு 4 சாப்டர் 22 டெக்ஸ்ட் 37. தத்வம் நரேந்திர ஜகதாம் அத்தஸ்து சம்சா தேஹேந்திரியாஷு திசனாத்மபிர் அவ்ரிதானாம் யக்ஷே க்ரவித் தபாதவ்யா ஹ்ருதி விஸ்வகவி பத்யக்தகஸ்தி பகவம் பாகவம்ஸ்த அபிஹி சோஷ்மி. Word for word translation. Tat, therefore, Tvam, you, Nara Indra, O best of kings, Jagatam, of the moving, Atha, therefore, Tatastusham, the immovable, Cha, also, Deha, body, Indriya, senses, Asu, life air, Disana, by consideration, Atmabhi, self-realization, Avritanam, those who are covered in that way, Ya, one who, Kshetravit, knower of the field, Tapataya, by controlling, Hridi, within the heart, Vishvak, everywhere, Avi, manifest, Pratyak, in every hair follicle. Chakasti, shining. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tam, unto Him. Abhihi, try to understand. Sa asmi, I am that. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Sanat Kumara advised the king, therefore, my dear King Prithu, try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is living within everyone's heart, along with the individual soul, in each and every body, either moving or not moving. The individual souls are fully covered by the gross material body and subtle body made of the life air and intelligence. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, it is specifically advised that instead of wasting time in the human form of life endeavoring for economic development and sense gratification, one should try to cultivate spiritual values by understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's existing with the individual soul within everyone's heart. The individual soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature are both sitting within this body, which is covered by gross and subtle elements. To understand this is to attain actual spiritual culture. There are two ways of advancing in spiritual culture: by the method of the impersonal philosophers and by devotional service. The impersonalist comes to the conclusion that he and the Supreme Spirit are one, whereas devotees or personalists realize the absolute truth by understanding that because the absolute truth is the supreme predominator and we living entities are predominated, our duty is to serve Him. The Vedic injunctions say, Tat Tvam Asi, you are the same, and Soham, I am the same. The impersonalist conception of these mantras is that the Supreme Lord, or the Absolute Truth and the living entity, are one. But from the devotee's point of view, these mantras assert that both the Supreme Lord and ourselves are of the same quality. Tatvam asi, ayam atma brahma. Both the Supreme Lord and the living entity are spirit. Understanding this is self-realization. The human form of life is meant for understanding the Supreme Lord and oneself by spiritual cultivation of knowledge. One should not waste valuable life simply engaged in economic development and sense gratification. In this verse, the word Kshetravit is also important. This word is explained in Bhagavad Gita 13, or chapter 13, text 2. Idam shariram kanteya kshetram iti abhidyate. This body is called Kshetra, the field of activities. And the proprietors of the body, the individual soul and the super soul sitting within the body, are both called Kshetravit. But there is a difference between the two kinds of Kshetravit. One Kshetravit, or knower of the body, namely the Paramatma, or the super soul, is directing the individual soul. When we rightly take the direction of the super soul, our life becomes successful. He is directing from within and from without. From within, he is directing as Chaitya Guru, or the spiritual master sitting within the heart. Indirectly, he is also helping the living entity by manifesting himself as a spiritual master outside. In both ways, the Lord is giving directions to the living entity so that he may finish up his material activities and come back home, back to Godhead. The presence of the Supreme Soul and the individual soul within the body can be perceived by anyone by the fact that as long as the individual soul and the super soul are both living within the body is always shining and fresh. But as soon as the super soul and the individual soul give up possession of the gross body, it immediately decomposes. One who is spiritually advanced can thus understand the real difference between a dead body and a living body. In conclusion, one should not waste his time by so-called economic development and sense gratification, but one should cultivate spiritual knowledge to understand the super soul and the individual soul and their relationship. In this way, by advancement of knowledge, one can achieve liberation and the ultimate goal of life. It is said that if one takes to the path of liberation, even rejecting his so-called duties in the material world, he is not a loser at all. But one who does not take the path of liberation, yet carefully executes economic development and sense gratification, loses everything. There's a statement before Vyasadeva. Statement for Vyasadeva is appropriate in this connection. Tyakva sat dharmam charanam bhujam hare bhajan apakvo ta patet tato yati yatra kva vabhadram abhud amushyakim ko varta apto bhajatam swa dharmata. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 17. If a person, out of sentiment or for some other reason, takes to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and in due course of time does not succeed in coming to the ultimate goal of life or falls down due to lack of experience, there is no loss. But for a person who does not take to devotional service yet executes his material duties very nicely, there is no gain. Oma gina timirandasya gyana gina shalakaya chakshu unmilitam jena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakada mayam dirati sva padantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurum vaishnavam shcha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapsa Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpat Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatyadi Sitarini Namo Mahapadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurachise Namaha Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Himavya Divacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Rasa Padaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So the text, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, which is about Sanat Kumara conversing with Maharaj Pritu. Text 37. Tatvam narinda jagatam atatatusham cha Dehendriya su dishanatma bir abhitanam Yakshetra vittapataya hridibhishvagavi Pratyakchakasti bhagavam tam abehi sosmi. Sanat Kumara advised the king, therefore, my dear King Prithu, try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is living within everyone's heart along with the individual soul in each and every body, either moving or not moving. The individual souls are fully covered by the gross material body and subtle body made of the life air and intelligence. Hare Krishna. So Sanat Kumara, one of the four Kumaras, is speaking to the king transcendental knowledge. For obviously those who were there, the king himself, and the rest of us who by Srila Prabhupada writing and translating were benefiting from. Sanat Kumara is telling the king, but specifically advising the king, my dear King Prithu, try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is living within everyone's heart, along with the individual soul. And that's in each and every body, physical body, whether the type is moving or not moving. Srila Prabhupada has gone through the description of the species, the five main species, and then the human species too, beginning from the bodies that are in the ocean or the rivers, the fish and the different types of bodies that are also in the ocean. Then from the water comes those that are on the land, beginning from the ones that are non-moving, the trees. So the setup is like that. Water first, then water being the lowest, the species that are the lowest. So when it comes to going from one soul to another, in matter of progressing back to the human body, the lowest are the ones in the water. Then onto the land, the ones that are not moving, but are on the land. Those are the trees and other plants. And then, as Srila Prabhupada says directly, then the next body, they move. That is the insect body and the reptile type body. They lump together. Then the birds, the ones that can fly, then the animals, then of course from there comes the human beings, the human type, 400,000. 8,400,000 total. So in each of these, there is the individual soul, but the super soul is also there. So King Prithu is being told by Sanat Kumara that he should understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who as Paramatma is living in everyone's soul along with the Atma, that which gives consciousness. The individual souls are covered by the gross body and the subtle body made of the life air and intelligence, mind, intelligence, and ego, as Srila Prabhupada describes it. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that this verse specifically advises that one should not waste their time, especially in this human form of life, endeavoring for economic development and sense gratification. But one should try to cultivate spiritual values by understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is existing with our individual souls in everyone's heart. One should not waste time endeavoring for economic development and sense gratification. Endeavoring for economic development and sense gratification is sophisticated animal life. Not only is it sophisticated animal life, we say that because the animals also do it, but they do it in a crude way. Because this whole point of economic development and sense gratification is linked with eating, economic development, eating. The end result of being economically okay is you're able to eat nicely. Sleeping, you got a house or apartment or condo, whatever they call it, a place for shelter. That's for the physical body. Mating, producing offspring of your same species, and defending. Economic development fulfills these things, but they are temporary because the body itself is temporary. And when it comes to sense gratification, we had talked about it in the lecture before, but not here, though. Not on Everyday Chant. But sense gratification is just the antidote that the non-devotee seeks to do in order to get a little bit of temporary relief for material life. See, the Prabhupada said material life is based on the pavargas, the hard work, which is called pa, the result from hard work or forming in the mouth, which is pha, pa, and ba, which is frustration, and bha, bha, which is fear, bhaya, and then ma, mrityu, which is death. And that's what a non-devotee or kami person, as we like to call it, goes through, working hard till they are very, very tired or foaming in the mouth. Some animals do foam in the mouth. Then frustration, or we can lump anxiety with that too, anxiety and frustration. And then fear. So many ways we try to protect ourselves from fear, from things that may happen. The neighborhoods that we live in, the schools that we take our children to, and so on. These days in this country, when you even take your children to a good school, there is no telling what could happen because school shootings are far more than they are actually talked about in the news. At some point last year, since we just started this year, last year by the, I think the summer, some news place reported that there had been more school shootings than the days of a year up to that point. There are 365 days of a year. So around two-thirds of it, over 200 or so, at that point in the summer, there have been more than school shootings than that number. And it's very astounding. The people just, I thought they just go to school to learn. So why are all these school shootings going on? The symptoms of Kali Yuga. So anyway, not to even get off the the point we're talking about. So to counteract these five pavargas, is indulging in sense gratification. So people indulge in sense gratification because life is hard for them, and they're trying to forget it. So they drink or involve themselves sexually without, you know, the caring about the results, which is the wanting a child. All of that is done because they want something that is enjoyable to their senses, so they can at least for that time forget how difficult economic development, you know, is. So Sanat Kumar says, but these are temporary, so one should cultivate what is long-lasting, what is permanent, spiritual values. First, by understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that He is the sum total of all there is. And as Paramatma, He is residing in everyone's heart along with our real nature. We are the soul, we're not these bodies. So, Srila Prabhupada says, to understand that the individual soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this Paramatma feature are both sitting within this body, which is covered with gross and subtle elements, gross elements made with earth, water, fire, air, and ether. To understand this is to attain the actual spiritual culture. And then Srila Prabhupada, as Lord Rishabhadev also said, we are lumped in spirituality in two categories, impersonalist philosophers and those of us involved in bhakti yoga, devotional service. Now the reason the two main categories are lumped together is because the impersonalist also understands that he's not his body. It's not only devotees that understand that. The impersonalist also understands that we are spirit. But the difference and where we part, and it's a huge difference, is that the impersonalist thinks that he and the Supreme Spirit are one, like one in every way conceivable. Whereas devotees realize that we are one in substance, but as far as size, we are very, very little compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Maya bodies actually think that when they get advanced, then they become like the Lord Himself, to the extent that they even call themselves Narayan. Devotees, Das, 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 Anudas. And they are calling themselves Narayan. And this is where we part. They think they are the same level. Now Lord Chaitanya totally defeated it. Totally defeated. We cannot do the things that the Lord can do. We cannot create like He can create. We cannot perform the kind of pastimes the Lord can perform. So how are we the same level as Him? So Srila Prabhupada, I know Srila Prabhupada uses words that are strong in these cases, especially when somebody tries to compare themselves to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are bogus, they are rascals, they don't know what is correct. So the only part of it that connects to us from the impersonalist is the fact that we are spirit. They also know they are spirit, that they are not the body. Okay. Now, so the Vedic injunctions say, Tatvam Asi, you are the same, and Soham, I am the same. Well, the same in substance. The soul is Satchitananda. The Lord's soul is Satchitananda. The Lord is Satchitananda, not even the Lord's soul. The Lord is the soul, Satchitananda. We also are Satchitananda, but very, very, very minute. Therefore, the Lord can do so many things that our minute state cannot do. So, the body is called Kshetra, and the knower, the body, the field of activity, Kshetra, the knower of the body is the Kshetra Vid, individual soul and the super soul. Now, Srila Prabhupada has also commented in another lecture about this. We know our bodies, well, to some extent. We don't know everything that's inside our bodies. But we know our bodies. And the Lord, before we get to the Lord, each individual person knows their body. I know my body, you know your body. You don't know my body, and I don't know about your body. But the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, knows everybody's body. Everything about everybody. That is the difference between the Lord and us. So again, we may be of the same substance, but we are already limited. We don't know each other's body, but the Lord knows everybody's body. And Srila Prabhupada even goes to the extent of saying, well, we say in our physical body, my hand, my leg, and so on. Mine. He said, strictly speaking, it doesn't belong to us. The Lord created it. And if he's the creator, then he is the owner. It's like being in an apartment and then having a landlord. Yes, you are in the apartment, but you're not the owner of the apartment. The landlord is the owner of the apartment. And that's why the landlord can also ask you to vacate the apartment. You can, and that, of course, it happens to us. That's called death. By the Lord's arrangement, we vacate the apartment. So the Lord has complete control and knowledge of our bodies. And, of course, being subtle also. So when we understand that, then, and also take the directions of the super soul, then our life becomes successful. So we hear that when we want to do things, we cannot do anything without the sanction of the super soul. Now, the super soul will allow us to do what we want to do. But the super soul is also directing us towards spirituality, through the intelligence, towards spirituality. When we refuse and we want to do material things, especially things that are wrong in the mode of passion and mode of ignorance, the Lord would allow us to do it, but at our expense. So, all right, the Papa says, you want to do it, you can do it, but you will be responsible for the consequence. Whatever happens from doing it, the reaction is on you. So the Lord doesn't stop us. He gives us freedom to do what we want to do, but if it's against the law or his law, then you pay for it. But the best thing is to hear what the super soul is telling us. The Lord from within and without as a spiritual master are telling us the same thing. Stick to Krishna consciousness. Stick and be sensitive to your real nature. Stick with spirituality rather than take so much time with material responsibilities. The material responsibilities are only necessary. They are not important. Important things are the spiritual things. Material responsibilities are only necessary because we have these bodies. But we are not these bodies. But they are with us though. The soul is encased in it. Therefore, if we don't take care of the bodies and the things that are necessary for going on with life, then we're going to go through changes that we wouldn't like. As Chandramala Swami likes to explain, or has explained, the body is not us, but you cannot neglect the body. You can't neglect the body. If you neglect the body, it's going to give you problems. And then you can't overdo anything with the body either. It only, because it's limited. Even the things that you like to do best, if you do it too many times, the body then becomes, no, you got to stop it. And if you keep doing it, then it will give you problems. If you take one example, even if you like to eat, but if you eat and eat and eat and keep eating and you're full and you try to eat some more, immediately the body would now turn this whole idea that's enjoyable into an idea that's painful. So we can't overuse it and we can't neglect it. But the one thing that's good for human body, and that's what Sanat Kumara is talking about, it is one which we can understand self-realization. The subtle body, the mind and intelligence. Intelligence is advanced enough to understand self-realization. Therefore, that's what we should be about. We should always prioritize the spiritual responsibilities over the material. If we do it the other way, we are actually wasting our time, valuable time. The spiritual responsibilities at all times are more important. Now, some of us work and we spend a good bit of the daytime involving ourselves in material work. Yes, that's the way it is now. But when it comes time to involve ourselves in spirituality, we should give quality time and greater attention to it than even what we do on our jobs. When a person understands that the spiritual responsibilities are more important and therefore they should have even greater attention given to it whenever we're doing service, anywhere, at home or in the temple, we are more conscientious about that because that is spiritual, the spiritual responsibilities, that is spiritual activity. When a person understands that, then they are on the right path back to Godhead and they are actually liberated already, even being in this physical body. When they understand that, they're already liberated. Mentally, they're liberated. But when we play with it, that we don't take the spiritual responsibilities as more important, but the material one, because there's fear that if you don't take that seriously, you're going to get fired. We talked about the pavargas. That's one of them. Pa, and baya, fear, that if you don't do, your supervisor is going to warn you at best, and the next time you're going to be gone, no money, you might lose your house, you might lose your car, you might be out in the streets, you may not be able to take care of your children. Those are all things that could happen. But everything that's we talked about now ends anyway, because death stops it all. Whereas the soul needs to continue. And more importantly, the soul needs to go back home. And all of these things are unimportant. The material things are unimportant, immediately unimportant when we're back home. So since the material part of it is temporary, no matter how much we think we need to pay attention to, they are temporary. They're just necessary. They're not important. Temporary things can't be important as permanent things. Therefore, bhakti yoga is always predominating over material activities. When we understand that and put the Lord first and activities for the Lord's glorification and for serving the Lord's senses, when that comes first, we are really, really liberated. And then we understand our constitutional position also. So that is actually extremely important. It is important to, Sanat Kumar is saying, try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we also understand Bhakti Yoga. Because that's to serve Him and obey what His instructions are from within and also from without. Now from without, we can tell easily because that's the spiritual master, the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can see the spiritual master, we can hear the spiritual master. So most of us get our directions from the spiritual master. That is all right. That is actually good because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi Panipatena Paripashnena Sevaya, that you should in fact approach a spiritual master. He mentioned specifically, and inquire from him and also render service to him because they are endowed with so much knowledge and they've also seen the truth. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, the spiritual master's role is very important. It's extremely important. In fact, we won't have much time to talk about the role of a spiritual master. It's huge, huge, huge in a devotee's life. So, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that it's the super soul and the individual soul in the body that makes the body function. When the super soul and individual soul give up possession of this gross body, then the body immediately decomposes. So that means consciousness and the functions of the body are all based on the super soul and the individual soul being inside the body. So Srila Prabhupada says, one who is spiritually advanced can then understand the real difference between a dead body and a living body. A dead body and a living body are actually the same. The body is still a machine. Especially, we're not talking about a situation where the body is mutilated or, but if every part of the body is dead, there is no difference between a body that's dead and a living body. The body itself. But when the soul and the super soul are inside the body, then the body starts functioning like it is alive. But it's not alive at all. Any more than a car is alive. But when you start it, it will go forward, go backward, turn left, turn right, and all that. And you park it, all kinds of things it can do. When a driver can control it. So when the Spirit and the Supreme Spirit are in our bodies, this same machine starts functioning. So the living body and the dead body are actually the same, but living body is when the soul is in it, and dead body is when the soul is not in it. That's all. So, Srila Prabhupada says, a person, there are two things here. A person that rejects duties in the material world and takes to the path of liberation and bhakti yoga is not a loser at all. Well, we know that our sannyasis do that. 10%, they live in the material world, but they are 10% dealing with matters involving spirituality, involving bhakti yoga. And it certainly is not a losing situation to be a sannyasi. We know that. We don't even need to go through that, describing it. Yet a person who does not take to bhakti yoga, the path of liberation, but carefully executes economic development and sense gratification, loses everything. They lose everything. And it's quite obvious that they lose everything. Some of them who are not devotees, they may not realize that from the fact that they think they are in control of everything that they have and economic development is fine and they're doing well. They may not realize that, but subtly they do. Why? Well, why would they write a will then? Give this to this person, give this to this person. When I die means I'm leaving. And these things are not going to be in my possession anymore. And that's why they want to give it to someone else, because they know they are going to be, it's going to be disowned from them. They will not get it at some point, which is the time of death. So death comes and takes it all away. But when a person who has spent time, quality time on spiritual responsibilities, death is just Krishna coming to take us back home. We do not need these physical bodies back home, so we leave them in order to go back to Godhead with our souls. And that's why we call that death. But a person that is not taking spirituality seriously, a non-devotee, or a person who is living a kami life, death means everything that he worked for is taken away. For a devotee, we're not attached to material things. And if you're not attached to material things and you're leaving it, what's the problem? If you're attached, then you go into lamentation as to why the things are, getting away from you. But if you're not attached, what's the difference? So if then I'm using it and this time I'm going somewhere else, I don't need it anymore. So I don't need it. That's all. That's death to a devotee. You're going to a much better place. No anxiety. So it's a much, much better situation for a devotee. The same thing we call death. Death brings fear to a non-devotee, but death is an opportunity to actually go back home, back to Godhead, for a devotee. So, Srila Prabhupada says, this part of the purpose says, if a person out of sentiment or for some other reason takes to the shelter of the lotus feet of a Lord, if a person out of sentiment, they hear about God, well, God is kind, God is this, so then they're connecting like that without knowing much about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They still take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord though. And in due course of time, does not succeed in coming to the ultimate goal of life or falls down due to lack of experience. There is no loss. In other words, a person that doesn't understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead so well, because a person who understands knows that devotees are very valuable because they're the ones that are serving the Lord with their hearts. But a person doesn't even understand it properly that way. And they somehow are among devotees, therefore they are also taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord to some extent. They're not advanced. They're not trying to advance. They're not humble. But they do some work for the Lord. They put some small amount of money, which is also a defeatist purpose. You should give far more money, not little money, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead service that is given to different temples and different projects that are all connected with serving the Lord. Actually, the secret is the more you give, the more you get. The more you give, the more you get. So when it comes to financially, the more Lakshmi you give, the Lord knows that you want to serve Him like that. So then He opens up the facility to serve Him more. It is a very, very easy spiritual way to actually progress financially. The more you give, the more you get. So if you give more, you are going to improve your own material and spiritual life. If you give less, as my Guru Maharaj likes to put it, it will be business as usual. And at the end of life, you will be frustrated. I remember one story, my god sister, I think she had served in so many ways. As a matter of fact, when I first came to Krishna consciousness and learned that we have to be vegetarian because I was a meat eater at that time. Actually, I was only eating fish, no chicken, nothing. So I was progressing towards getting away from that type of food. But she was the one that was teaching a vegetarian cooking class. At that time, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj had it set up that way. She was a disciple of Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, and she was teaching this. So I learned every weekend, Saturdays, I learned from her. She was also a very good cook. So she would talk about vegetarianism, and then at the end of the class, or towards the end, she would show us how to cook and cook something. And she cooked so nicely. So those of us who were not vegetarians, we were very convinced that vegetarian meals were very nice. Now, she organized a very big program one time in the Washington, D.C., Maryland area, and invited people from different faiths to come. Very big program. A big park, you know, full of devotees, you have, you know, and non-devotees alike, tents and so on set up. Big program. So she had served in so many ways. Yet, when my Guru Maharaj died, left the body, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, 2005, we all were sorry that, you know, to see Maharaj go. But later on, she was still crying. And when we asked her, she said, I could have served my Guru Maharaj better. I could have served it better. And I'm thinking, weren't you the one who did all these things? Still, she was feeling she didn't serve enough. She felt that she had let something that she could have done go, and she didn't do it. And now Guru Maharaj is gone, and she wished she had done it for him and didn't do it. So she was feeling sorry for herself. And sorry that the opportunity was there. Now, even though many of us knew that she had done even big programs, my Guru Maharaj being the main speaker in these programs, still, there should never be a situation, we shouldn't put ourselves in a situation where we would feel that something should have been done and we didn't do. If it's important to you, do it now, especially the spiritual things. If it's important to you, you definitely should do it now. Because then death would be a very precarious or difficult situation. You're supposed to concentrate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead at the time of death. But if we begin to say, oh, I should have done this, or should have done that. As Srila Prabhupada was saying in a lecture, those who have dogs and very attached to their dogs, and he was talking generally, not about devotees, but generally. He's saying some people are so attached when they get time, when the time comes, they're getting ready to leave their body. They go, oh, my dog, what's going to happen to my dog? Let me leave some of my earnings or profit or some things that I have. So someone to take care of my dog, I have to make sure that my dog is okay. And there are people who think like that. So then the Papa says, well, you can leave some property for the dog, but you are going to be dog next life. Did you die thinking about your dog? Well, Bharat Maharaj died thinking about a deer, and he became a deer. So we have to be careful to focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada also said, if you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you chant constantly, do your japa, join in kirtan and bhajan, and chant constantly on your own, at the time of death, you will definitely remember Krishna. Which is our success. He says, you remember me, you come to me. So it's extremely, extremely important that we take spiritual life very seriously. So, Srila Prabhupada says, a person who does not take to devotional service yet executes material duties very nicely, there is no gain. There is no gain because they don't leave the material world when they die. All the individual gets is karmic buildup. That's all. And that is for enjoying temporarily, long time, but still temporarily in the heavenly planets, without spiritual liberation or a chance to go back home. So only karma build up. In the Sri Upanishad, Srila Prabhupada in the purport, one of these mantras, describes karma as specifically, karma is obtained by performing one's prescribed duties nicely. That is karma. Vikarma is performing activities but not nicely. Activities in the mode of passion and ignorance. They result in birth, especially passion, birth in these medium planets, or for ignorance, going to a hellish planet and suffering, and then getting a non-human body after that. Now, that's karma and vikarma. Now, akarma, are activities different from vikarma and karma. In other words, spiritual activities. Because if you do your material activities nicely, or you do it in an ignorant way or passionately, that covers all types of material activities. So the only thing left which has anything involved with karma is akarma, activities different from these, nicely, mode of goodness stuff, or mode of passion stuff, or mode of ignorance. Outside mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance is only spirituality, spiritual activities. So akarma is what we should be about. They're different from vikarma and karma. Devotees should be about that. Now how? Well, we still do material things. But that's when the Sri Upanishad comes in and explains that we should have the Ishavasya principle as part of our lives. Knowledge that everything belongs to God. That's Ishavasya. Therefore, we should perform all our activities, even the material ones, with some strategy to incorporate bhakti into it. Or another way of saying is dovetailing all activities for service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is on us to pray for our intelligence to tell us, or for the Chaitanya Guru inside, or the spiritual master, to help us so that even the material activities, there is some way that we bring Krishna consciousness into it. And there are several ways, depending on everybody's situation of material activity, we can in fact bring some spirituality into it. And that's the Ishavasya principle. We should resort to prayer and intelligence to figure out how to do that, how to spiritualize even our material activities. Spiritualize means bring something spiritual into it. Okay, now for a little bit of a time left, maybe another 5 minutes or so, I had been talking about the 64 principles of set by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Saraswati Goswami. I'd like to, with your permission and guidance from my guru and Srila Prabhupada, talk about principle number 49 today as part of this. Principle number 49 by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj says, do not give up devotional service even if there are innumerable dangers, countless insults, and endless harassment. Do not become disheartened that most people in the world, in this world, do not accept the message of unalloyed devotional service. Never give up your devotional service and hearing and chanting about Krishna, who is your everything. Always chant the holy name, become more humble than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. So this is principle number 49. Don't give up devotional service even if there are innumerable dangers. You feel that something is going to happen. If you're doing devotional service, wisely go about it. Dangers, of course, our immediate reaction to it is to try to avoid the danger. But even though it is sensible to try to avoid the danger, we shouldn't say because we're avoiding the danger, we won't do devotional service at all. See, that's a defeatist then attitude. Then it means the danger has actually stopped us from serving. And that's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj is saying. Don't give up devotional service, even if there are innumerable dangers. Even if there are countless insults, some of us are our family members and sometimes people we're associated with in school and so on, they think that, you know, we're lost. Or even harassment, as I went through for my own sister. She's just harassed me in so many ways because of Christian consciousness. She was doing it subtly, trying to get me to go back to be Christian. And I mean, it went through years and years and years until I finally literally cut off relationship with her. I wouldn't talk to her at all. And then she apologized and realized I wasn't going to change my mind. And now she's back to talking with me, but she stopped bothering me. So much harassment I had to go through. But, I mean, geez, there's no comparison of religion with Krishna consciousness. Krishna himself says, Sarva Dharma Parityaja Mama Ikam Sharanam Bhaja, abandon all varieties of religion. So I don't know what she was thinking until I was going to leave. Anyway, that's just a personal thing. Put that aside. So, countless insults, endless harassment. The Avanti Brahmana went through all kinds of insults. When he became poor, everything got taken away from him. He was rich at first. People were getting back at him because he was actually quite arrogant at the time that he was rich. So when he lost everything, people got back at him. But he had actually become more Krishna conscious then. Everything is done by, you know, by time. Time is the one that controls everything. And he looked at it as some way of him being delivered from all kinds of negative things, resorting to lying and all kinds of things to just get business going. So giving all of that up. But he got insulted a lot, and he got harassed a lot, but he never gave up on Krishna consciousness. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj says, don't become disheartened that most people in the world don't accept the message of unalloyed devotional service. Don't be disheartened. I know here sometimes, and even somewhere else, that here in Pennsylvania, and also in EDT, there has been that question that's come up, but the devotees had a nice program. These people came to the program, their karmis, and now we don't see them anymore. Why? Was it something that we did that doesn't make them get interested anymore? They came for a nice program and that was it. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj is telling us, we should not become disheartened that most people in this world don't accept it. In another place in the Shastra, it says, devotees are the ones that have done all kinds of activities that are spiritual before. Bathed in the sacred rivers, done some other kinds of pujas in previous lives, and therefore they've taken to bhakti rather easily when they've heard about Krishna. So sometimes these things are not done by those other people or some of the family members who are not for Krishna consciousness. So you can't change their minds. So what you do is do the best you can help them. Either do your activities in front of them, so hopefully it will just sink in, and slowly they will also begin to do that, especially children who after a while they will imitate. Or that you give them prasadam, because that starts their devotion. Next life they may take Krishna consciousness seriously because of the energy of the Lord that's in prasadam. So never give up on your devotional service, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Krishna is your everything. Always chant the holy name, become more humble than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. So, as far as this principle 49 is concerned, my Guru Maharaj made a few comments which I'd like to incorporate here. Now, he was mentioning, this is Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, in his book, Reflections 5, Reflections on Sacred Teachings, Volume 5. It's 6 volumes and this is Volume 5. It's all about the 64 principles from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is mentioning that sometimes people have problems and then they give up devotional service. And some of the problems are legitimate. They're having issues, so then they won't come around anymore. Now, it's because probably they have bad experiences with devotees. Remember, devotees are not necessarily pure. They are going through the process of purification. So some of the bad or lower nature sometimes will come out. Now, but there are some other people too that sees all these problems, but they never leave devotional service. Why? Well, let's see about the person who left. A person who leaves is probably a complainant, complaining that they want to be a devotee, but they couldn't get along with the temple president, so they left. Or they couldn't get along with the GBC, so they left. Or they couldn't even get along with the Sankirtan leader, or even the pujari. Somebody there that's doing some service. Or maybe they have some services that they don't like, so they didn't get the service that they wanted, and so they're a little discouraged about that and how they want to leave. Or even finally, they wanted some kind of distinction or encouragement, and they didn't get that, and so they left. But there are other people who go through similar experience, and they don't leave. Why? Well, Srila Prabhupada answers it. He says, anyone who leaves devotional service was not serious anyway in the first place. Devotional service is our everything. So if you really want to go back to Godhead, then no matter what's thrown at you, you want to go back to Godhead still. You want to stay with devotional service. So in that way, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that anyone who leaves devotional service, that person was not serious. If they could give up Krishna consciousness because of some obstacles, then they don't have very strong determination. Now that's not to say that bad things that somebody experiences is not an unfortunate situation. It is an unfortunate situation, but it shouldn't stop us from staying with Krishna. Now I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj had new people coming in, see him by appointment, one-on-one. And I talked about the different places of religion that I'd been to. I was Catholic, I left and went to other Christian organizations, and then to Baha'i, and then to Buddhism, and then to Islam, and then to Krishna consciousness. And so Islam was the last place I was at, and I had all kinds of complaints about the things that were going on there, a lot of politics in that place. So Bhaktivedanta Maharaj patiently listened to me all the frustration that I've been through. I wanted to help so much in my heart. Things that they were about, I was about that, so I was all excited. But then I was very much discouraged, and finally, I came to Krishna consciousness, actually by Krishna's mercy. It was one of the Muslim women that introduced me to a recording by Bhaktivedanta Swami, which was, in fact, Krishna consciousness. And I was very excited about that and then went to see him. So that was the connection, my moving into Krishna consciousness. Now, so Bhaktivedanta Maharaj listened to all of that. And then one response, he says, so all these people try to cheat you, but God didn't cheat you. And I had to, it's true. God didn't cheat me. These people did, but it wasn't God. So people can do all, that's the point we're making, people can do all kinds of things that are negative. That does not mean that Krishna is actually doing anything wrong to you. So why leave Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness is that connection with Krishna. And some devotees that are still in the process of, getting purified, they'll do some things. So that's there, and we should have strong determination at all times. We should not give up in spite of challenges. So Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur says, do not become disheartened. Don't become disheartened that the people you've talked to about devotional service may not accept the message. Actually, another place in the Prabhupada says, we ourselves make a difference in how the message is heard, whether it's heard or not, sometimes. We ourselves, that is how much we are moving towards purity. If we take the process more seriously and we correct our mistakes in devotional service, then what we speak, what we talk about, it should be directed from Shastra, not just our speculation. But what we talk about will in fact hit home to the people who are hearing. Because when a person is speaking, he's also connecting subtly with those who are hearing. And so if we take the four regulated principles more seriously, then even the lectures that come through us, and I didn't say from us, through us, and I think that way all the time. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, Radha Maharaj, so many other, Srila Prabhupada, those whose lectures I listen to, I just share. So I'm not really the speaker, even though you hear my voice, I'm not the speaker, it's just what they have said. And what we're talking about now is even from Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, proving the point that it's they that speak and we share. When a person is sharing, they can't go wrong. Because the pure devotees have said those statements, and we're just bringing it out. So, never give up on devotional service, even if there are innumerable dangers, insults, and harassments. No one can stop us from serving the Lord. But if we stop, then it means we have allowed the circumstances to stop us from chanting the holy name. And that is most unfortunate. Because stopping means we're not going back to Godhead. Nothing that happens justifies running away from Krishna. The Lord never cheats anybody. Okay, this is all from Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. So we may be disappointed by our children. We may be disappointed by our spouse. We may be disappointed by our friends or by authorities or so many other associates in our life. But something about our own nature always determines what types of experiences we will have. Because we certainly, in many ways, have ways to stay away from some experiences if we want to avoid them. Sometimes karmic influences also play a role. But all of that taken together is no excuse to leave bhakti, the royal path of devotion. So whatever gets thrown at us, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj says, innumerable dangers, countless insults, endless harassment, never leave Krishna consciousness, and don't become disheartened that other people you're trying to get to be Krishna conscious don't become Krishna conscious. It's not in our control. We may help, but it's not in our control when they become Krishna conscious. Whatever we do, Krishna would in fact add it to our spiritual credits, whatever we do. So it's no loss at all to try to preach to others in many ways. But we should always be involved with devotional service, hearing and chanting and the other seven processes to serve the devotees, to serve Guru, and serve Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. So Sanat Kumara in this text is saying, my dear King, try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is living within everyone's heart, along with the individual soul, in each and every body, whether the body is moving or not moving. The individual souls are fully covered by the gross material body and subtle body, made of a life, air, and intelligence. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we can unmute our phones. Thank you for being patient and tolerating me. You can star 6 and now ask questions. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions?
Hare Krishna, Maruji. Thank you for a wonderful class.
Hare Krishna. Krishna's mercy. Guru's mercy.
Yeah, Prabhuji, I have a question. Like, you know, in the purport it was mentioned about the super soul and the individual soul. How
yes.
do we know, like, you know, in the different phases of the life, the super soul is guiding the individual soul or the body, you know, like, you know, how does the individual will understand, okay, this advice or guidance is coming from my super soul?
Very good question. And it's also, the answer to that is, it's very subtle. When a person takes Krishna consciousness seriously, over a period of time, Krishna will test your patience. That's there, it's in the nectar of instruction. I don't want to get off the subject of nectar of instruction, but anyway. So when a person has been in Krishna consciousness and taken everything they're supposed to do seriously, whatever they're doing, whatever they're asked to do, management, you know, because managers are also serving Krishna. Everybody's a servant. Servant leaders, like so. And then everything to coordinate, to facilitate. And you're doing your part well, and you're chanting seriously, and you're thinking of Krishna, then messages begin to come. See, the spiritual master is telling you things, telling you either directly or is preaching and you're hearing. That's there. That's from outside. You're asking about the internal one. It comes as a voice. It's a quiet voice and it's never wrong. Never ever wrong. What you're told to do, you begin to hear. And you do. And if you do, you realize that every time you hear, you do the right thing. And sometimes you hear and your mind may say, no, I'm not going to, and you find out you were wrong for not listening. So by that, it comes, you know, over a period of time of trusting that Christian consciousness is the best thing. Trusting that I have to put in my very best when it comes to doing anything for Krishna and Krishna's devotees and for Guru. Then you begin to hear. And without doing that, you'll never hear. You'll never hear. Because then it means the super soul has just left us to do whatever. Remember, the super soul also allows us to do whatever we want to do, but he says they're responsible for the consequences. So sometimes he will and sometimes he will not, depending on whether we want to do the right thing or not. But the guidance is there. Of course, we have the main things that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to chant. We know the mantra, how it goes, all of that. That's there. The spiritual master, that is the guru from outside, is also telling us. But the inside one is extremely, extremely subtle. You will begin to hear directions from your intelligence. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. And even some things that are material in life, it will come out in a message. Don't do this, do that. This time you used to do, no, today you do it like this. It comes. It comes, literally it comes. And if you hear and you just obey and do it, you will realize that you're right all the time when they give you that message. So it's a subtle thing, but the Lord does in fact speak to us like that through our intelligence. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or suggestions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Madhav Pranam to you, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. There
Hare Krishna.
So many important points.
Krishna's mercy.
I really liked one point about, when we have some differences or something, in the temple, but we have to realize that, we are basically coming there for Krishna. And all these things, even the management post or president post, everything is so temporarily.
Yeah.
And devotees are trying their best to serve in whatever way, and we all have these four defects.
Yeah.
And and like you also said that, most of the devotees, everyone is not pure. We are just purifying ourselves through this process. Like, definitely, Lord Chaitanya is a devotee.
The Lord is a devotee. Yeah.
Is a devotee.
Yes.
Know? But we are just practicing, at least that's for myself. And
that's cool.
Maybe others are devotees, but they're like super, super devotees, Srila Prabhupada.
The super ones won't let you know.
So thank you so much for the wonderful class. I don't have a specific question. I was having a question, I should have written it down in the middle when you were saying, but if I can recollect, I'll get back, otherwise I can always text you the question if it comes back a little later, like a tube light.
Yeah, okay, anyway.
Thank you, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any way that you can get it across, with Lord's mercy, I'll be more than willing to serve by the guidance of Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. So...
Also, one more thing, Prabhuji, you mentioned about the service thing. Actually, it's like the taste is in the pudding, like we tell people while preaching, chant and then taste in the pudding. Similarly, for service, actually, we might say many times do service, but service is so much deeply connected to our sadhana, chanting improves. Everything becomes so nice with service because the thing is, it is very selfless. It's not like, we're doing service to our family, which is our duty, of course, because we are a mother. In one relation, we are so much. We are like sister to someone, daughter to someone, wife to someone, mother to someone. So all these relationships we are still doing. And it's kind of like self-centered base because, we created this world. And when we did create, we were not Krishna conscious. But then, as Lord Chaitanya has always said, wherever you are, whatever position, you practice Krishna consciousness. And so we are doing that. But we have to go beyond this to serve devotees who are not connected to us the way all these people have been connected to us right from our life, zero life we were born. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for emphasizing that. And actually, I sometimes don't do any services to the temple. And then I become so miserable, and then what happens? And again, I beg to the devotees, please give me some service, And then when I take up services, then and the problem that happens with me is if I take up a service, I'll suppose when Mataji says you're in charge of the cleanliness, So the thing is, I'll start doing myself only, and I will not engage anyone, and I will take everything on my head, and I'll spend 1 hour in cleaning, you know, the room, everything. I'll start doing myself, and then I get burnt out. So Mataji was telling me that don't do that this time. Just like even our everyday Chan conference call, like, you know, earlier, right a couple of years back, you know. So Shavarasika Mataji and me were like kind of handling weekend and weekdays. Then suddenly we had other Mataji, Nina Mataji was there. Now so many other people are engaged because we have to move on and give the services to others. And at the same time, like, grab another service. Not that we're done with this, okay, we did this and now we're done. You know, it should be like compliance kind of a thing. So, in just connection to services I was mentioning, and thank you so much for also sharing about your personal, how you came into Krishna consciousness. And Prabhuji, I had a similar story too, because before I came into Krishna consciousness, I was like going to the Hindu temple where I used to sit in the Satnarayan Puja for like, it used to happen, mostly husband wife sit there, but I would go there alone and sit there. Then I was also taking like, the Jehovah Witness, one lady used to come and used to read the Bible at home. I've done that. Then also like, I've attended some nice classes at Chinmay Temple where, you know, they teach these books, and so I would just go and sit and, before I actually came into Krishna consciousness, like all these things I've gone through, I was like searching and hunting and searching, something like what, you know, I was, this journey back home of Radharad Maharaj, like how he went from here, and when I was thinking, I said, some of us have actually gone through this. We're like looking, and finally then we came, and then it's like a full stop in the sense that we're not going anywhere else. And we're not leaving, leaving ISKCON. We are just going to continue our services till we are living this body, you know. And so just wanted to mention that, like, somehow, you know, we are like Srila Prabhupada's mercy, devotee's mercy, that we are here, and now we don't feel like going anywhere else. Like, we don't taste any other, so to say, like Buddhism or some other, read any other books. We don't want to do that. It's all mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, and all the devotees. Thank you so much. So just, I feel very high-spirited when I heard you, so some words are coming from my mouth. I don't want to sound like a class, but just some realizations which I like to share, and I know I can't do that amongst my members and family, but among devotees I can, you know, express myself and feel a little bit good. Like, you know, ladies have a propensity to talk, so that is still there in me. And I like to talk and, you know, go ahead. But I'll just stop here. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So everybody has their story how they came to Krishna consciousness, and it's actually quite wonderful. Everybody's path is slightly different, but the Lord is so merciful. We all wind up here and also learn, just like you said, that this is the place to park. There's nowhere else to go, because it is, in fact, after you stay in here for a while, you realize it's the highest. Everywhere you go, they don't say things to the extent of what we learn in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the ultimate. And just by being here, it proves, Krishna consciousness proves it to us that it is the ultimate. So then there's no need to go anywhere else. And in fact, then you begin to give Krishna consciousness to others to the extent that they are ready to, you know, to hear or to imbibe in their lives. Yes, so we are very, very fortunate, you know, to be in Krishna consciousness. And that's even why we have to take it as priority. Very, very, very seriously take it as priority. Nothing else is more important. Nothing else is more important. Sometimes, and I'll just say one thing in this, sometimes we think our jobs are very, very, very important. But actually, when you think about it, stop to think about it, the job is not more important than bhakti yoga. It's not. The only reason sometimes we see the job is more important is we fear that if we lose it, material life is going to be difficult. If we lose it, material life is going to be difficult for us. And therefore, it becomes, let me get there on time, let me do this on time, let me get everything I'm told, let me do it. But actually, that alone, in a sense, we are in illusion. If we think the job is more important, where will the job take us in the long run? The job is for short term. The job is also one that we can spiritualize. We're putting a few things in here. In there, sorry. as we're working, so that we can remember Krishna or we can pass Krishna along. That's the way we should look at it. We should spiritualize. This is Ishabhasha principle. We should try to spiritualize everything that we do, including our jobs. But it is not the most important. It's only fear that makes us think that the job should be prioritized over, you know, the spirit, Krishna consciousness, because if we lose it, it's going to be difficult for us. Well, some people have walked away from jobs and taken to Krishna, and they are called sannyasis. Are they dying? Of course not. They're not. And if we're grihasthas and we need to maintain the way we maintain, because we live our lives materially differently from the way sannyasis do, Krishna already knows that. And he's in control of everything. So what makes us think he's just going to let us fall down just because, or fall materially, go into so many problems just because we were trying to worship him? He says, Name Bhakta Pranashati. He's serious about everything in Bhagavad Gita. And he says, my devotee will not perish. If the Supreme Personality that owns everything is saying my devotee will not perish, your supervisor can't tell you that. The Lord can. Well, how much clout or power does your supervisor have compared to Krishna? Your supervisor is insignificant, just like we are insignificant. So we always should do the devotee thing first, as greater priority than even our employment. And if we understand that, then we are in the right frame of mind. Because especially when we come to leaving the body and the job is gone and all, everything else doesn't matter, but we took Bhakti Yoga seriously, we knew we did the most intelligent thing for ourselves. Hare Krishna. So anyway, are there any other questions before we wrap it up?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Just want to mention one line that, you know, I was hearing one lecture, and I don't know when you were saying some words, beautiful words were coming from your mouth.
Krishna's mercy.
You know how, you know, that one devotee was mentioning that we have to appreciate Krishna. Like you said, I mean, he takes care of sannyasi, everyone. Even the clouds that you see, I mean, you know, they're sustaining water.
Yeah.
And they look so beautiful. I mean, who can do all this creation? You know, they are there in the sky. It's actually a form of water.
Yeah.
And then they collect, you know, they pour down. So everything, sunrise, sunshine, beautiful wind blowing. Even the cold weather, people are like, in the news, everything is so petrifying, you know, like, the alarm is coming, that there is freeze warning, and, you know, all those things are going on, but people are not really appreciating, you know. Yesterday, I was talking to Shyamarasika Mataji, and I was telling him, in such a cold weather, and, you know, like, how it is going there. She says, we like it. We're used to it. It's so nice, you know.
Yeah, it is so nice.
So we can hear this only from, like, devotees, you know.
Yeah.
Appreciating everything, you know, because anyway it's temporary. And I always, you know, it's a cold weather going on everywhere, but we always link the cold weather to one thing, which from Bhagavad Gita, that, you know, it's like, you know, dukh and sukh. It's like the seasons coming and going. Why are you worrying about it? You know, that it's become very cold, or now it's going to get, like, spring is going to come, or summer we'll be sweating. So, you know, we just have to appreciate it, because everything around us is like, and it's like, even we as, you know, human beings were sometime or the other against Krishna, but Krishna has put us on this planet, and there are all the comforts here. And we can spiritualize our situation by appreciating everything. Trees, clouds, you know, winds, and even hurricanes for that reason, because they also have a reason to blow away somebody's house because of some karmas or something or the other, you know. And and it's amazing, like one line you mentioned about the fact that it was so nice, mesmerizing to hear that devotees are not scared of death. Because they know they're going to Krishna.
Yeah.
So, you know, such a powerful sentence, Prabhuji, I mean, you enlightened us today with, because, you know, all the time we hear of news, and say, people will say, oh, you know, so-and-so died, and, you know, how it happened through the heart attack, or they had cancer, or this, and that, but for devotees, it doesn't matter, because, you know, whatever we have, we're not this body, and we have to go back, and it's a better situation we're going into, so it's not like we're worrying about, you know, that, or we're fearing about some disease, and everything will be taken away. So it's just beautiful, Krishna consciousness, and your class makes it all the more better, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Nadanam Pranam to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. And I'm only sharing, so you may say thank you to me, but actually thank you to the parampara that are actually, you know, sharing. They've said the things and we're just sharing it. So but it's wonderful, yeah, to appreciate the way things are here in the material world, but also appreciate it in the proper perspective. As you're appreciating nature here, you also should understand that it is a situation we're in that we're fortunate to be doing bhakti yoga, and our home is in the spiritual world. All of that should also be at the back of our minds as we stay here and do the best that we can. Stay here temporarily. After a while, we're going to be leaving. And as was said earlier, death means Krishna is coming to take us into a much, much, much better situation. Hare Krishna. To any other comments or questions? So we can end now. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa drubhyascha kripa sunidhya evacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo. Hare Krishna, everybody.
Ki jai.
Jai. Jai.
Hare. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, once again for a wonderful class.
Hare Krishna. Guru's mercy, Krishna's mercy. Jai. Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for a wonderful class and so nice question answers. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Guru's mercy, Krishna's mercy. Jai. Hare Krishna. Glory to Shri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Glory to Shri Prabhupada.